Let us pray. Holy God, whose voice is heard in the thunder and in the silence, speak to us now by the power of your Spirit, that we may hear your word for us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
In today's first reading from Acts, and you may recall that the book of Acts was, we're pretty sure, written by the same person who wrote the gospel according to Luke. So in today's reading, Paul and Silas are imprisoned for healing a slave woman possessed by a spirit of divination. While they are singing hymns and praying in the middle of the night, a miraculous earthquake unlocks their chains and cells. Paul and Silas, however, do not flee, but they stay and proclaim the gospel to the prison guard. Reading from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse, listen for God's word. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour.
But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, they put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. In the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. So ends the reading. And now from the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. Verses 20 through 26. We hear these words of Jesus. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. But they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, there was a news story a few years ago that I still remember. And here's a spoiler alert. It ends happily. So here's what happened. A little boy in Atlanta, Willie Myrick, 9 years old, was playing with his dog outside his home one evening when a car drew up. Next thing you know, the driver had grabbed Willie, thrown him in the back seat, and driven off. Terrifying, right? The little boy would later tell a local TV reporter, "The man was cursing at me, telling me to shut up, and he didn't want to hear a word from me. He said he would hurt me, like in a bad way." But Willie, a fan of gospel music, didn't keep quiet. He began to sing a song that he'd learned in Sunday school. "God's my deliverer," the song goes. "Every praise is to our God." And by the way, you can Google a video of Willie singing, and bless his heart, he's never going to be the next American Idol. But captive in that car, Willie sang that song, if not tunefully, then with faith, over and over and over for hours, until his kidnapper apparently couldn't stand it anymore, braked to a stop, and pushed Willie out of the car. "Praise be to our God indeed." Now, Willie's story reminds me of Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns in prison. But even more, this little boy who was so annoying that he had to be set free reminds me of that young slave girl annoying the hell out of Paul until he set her free. Or did he? We know so little about this annoying girl. Was she the spoil of war, taken as plunder after some battle on foreign shores? Or perhaps her family was so desperately poor that they sold her into slavery? Not so different from young girls sold into marriage by desperate parents across our globe today. Maybe her parents were dead, and she had no other means of support. Again, not so different from young girls today who sell themselves for food, for shelter, for what passes, if only for a moment, for kindness and care. And she was valuable, this young girl. She had a gift, a spirit of divination, the ability to see things that others couldn't. She was a fortune teller, though she didn't reap the rewards of her gift. That went to her owners, plural, which makes it sound like some kind of business consortium that ran a ring of fortune tellers, which brought them a tidy profit. And we don't know why Paul was so annoyed. Oh, sure, this girl followed him around for days, apparently, crying out. I get it. I mean, like, when a panhandler follows you down the street, you're in a hurry, you're short on cash, but the person keeps saying, "Help me," and finally you shove a dollar at him and rush on. Like in the Gospel of Matthew, when the Canaanite woman kept shouting after Jesus, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." And frankly, it took some wise argument on her part, but finally, Jesus helped that annoying woman. He healed her daughter. But in our story from Acts, annoying as she was, what was the girl doing that was so bad? Divining, seeing, recognizing that Paul and friends were slaves of the Most High God who proclaimed to you a way of salvation? Well, yes, wasn't that exactly what they were? Maybe, though, I don't know, I think it's a stretch, Paul was actually annoyed by the evil spirit that was the reason for her enslavement. Maybe, purist that he was, Paul thought that her gender, her status, and the suspect source of her proclamation somehow sullied the message he was trying to preach. Maybe she just got on his last nerve. So apparently, in a fit of pique, he set her free. And helping the slave girl got Paul and Silas into trouble. And protest as the plaintiffs might that these men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe. In other words, they're foreigners and troublemakers, and we don't want the likes of them here. In truth, I think it's mainly about the money. Paul had upset the socioeconomic status quo, interfered with the girl's owner's livelihood by interfering with their property. So they demanded punishment, and the authorities were happy to oblige. And then we hear this wonderful story about the singing songs of praise in prison and an earthquake that not only opened jail doors but loosened chains, and about Paul's kindness to a jailer and the jailer's grateful response that led to new life for him and his family. And that's great. I mean, it is. But I'm thinking, good thing for that jailer, he didn't annoy Paul. Otherwise, his story might have ended not with a baptism, but with a, thanks, dude, gotta go, God bless you. And it hasn't escaped my attention that, well, a lot of men find a yelling woman annoying. And then I wonder if it was really the girl's yelling that got to them, or if it was her interfering with their important plans, her forwardness that ticked Paul off. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. For Luke, after this girl sets the story in motion, she disappears. For Luke, the point of the story is the miraculous earthquake, the miraculous jailbreak, the amazing conversion, the moving baptism. But I think God must see this young girl with clearer eyes than Luke did. Remember how Jesus, even though he tried to ignore her at first, how Jesus finally stopped and paid attention to that annoying Canaanite woman. How he saw her for who she was, saw her desperation and need, and set her free. I think there is a reason our eyes are drawn to the margins of this story and to the person on the margin. Now, I wish I could tie this story up with a bow, but it leaves me with more questions than it answers. Still, it teaches me, reminds me that sometimes those we encounter unexpectedly can seem mere annoyances, interfering with our true work. But often, the annoyance is the work. Remember that John Lennon song, "Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans"? In my experience, ministry is often what happens when I'm busy making other plans. And this story encourages me to not settle for healing on the run, but to go the distance. I mean, no one's perfect, not even the Apostle Paul. Paul, a visionary himself, but also a man of his time and culture, he saved that girl and moved on. But if she was ever truly healed, it took a community to do it. Pastor Janet Hunt talks about working with women who've broken free from domestic violence. She says, in the wake of such wondrously realized freedom, in many cases, people have found themselves suddenly struggling with the challenge of living with fewer material resources, with altered life circumstances, in addition to trying to rebuild their own understanding of who they are. Oh, they may no longer be battered, but they are not yet fully free from the experience. How much better they do when they have a community of others who are there to help give them what they need as they seek to move ahead. How much better they do when they have a community of others who are there to help give them what they need as they seek to move ahead. I imagine two different endings to our Acts story. In one, the young girl is cured of her spirit possession, but left with nothing. And worse, her owners find some other more horrific way for her to earn her keep. At best, they let her go, as she was worthless to them now. But where did that leave her? On her own, adrift. In my other fantasy ending, somehow she encounters those newly baptized Jesus people, the jailer and his family. Set free themselves, they know how truly scary true freedom can be. They take her in, give her a home and a community. They help her get back on her feet. And maybe the Sabbath finds her proclaiming the way of salvation of the Most High God. Paul may have freed her from the evil spirit, but they help her move into the fullness of new life. I wish I had a nice tidy package to leave you with here. But maybe, yet again, God is calling us to write the end of this story. Maybe, on this last Sunday of Eastertide, God is calling us to remember what the crucified and risen one has done for us. And then to pay attention to those crying out in need and pain, those enslaved by poverty or violence or addiction or grief or mental illness or injustice, to pay attention to those annoying prophetic voices who will not be silent. Maybe, like Paul, like the kidnapper in Atlanta, we'll be so annoyed that we'll do the right thing. But what does it look like if we don't stop there? Because you know who else can be really annoying? Jesus. He has this annoying habit of asking more and more of us, because for some reason, he believes that we're up to it. He asks and asks, and then we give in. And we realize that it actually costs us so little and gives us so much more. Every praise is to our God, little Willie sang. Indeed. And amen. Thanks be to God.